Hello, friends, family, and everyone else. Even though you're not as important as friends and families, welcome to my podcast. Just kidding. That's my attempt to be funny. This is going to be awful. So, as an unemployed, single, divorced female, mother of four, who struggled with addiction and bills and mental health issues and housing and relationships, all those issues, even legal trouble I found myself in, I was contemplating ways where I could pull myself out of the grime and the muck and get myself back on my feet and make a success out of myself, because everyone loves a comeback, right? And if you don't, you're a hater. Don't be a hater. So I was thinking, what do I love to do? I love to write. And I know it's really hard to find ways to make money off of writing. So I said, screw it. I'm just going to throw myself out there. If I make money, great. If I don't, I don't, because I'm doing something I love. I'm good at it. I like to write. But in today's modern technology and upbeat social media, all those things makes it really difficult to make money off of writing anymore the old-fashioned way. So I heard about podcasts and absolutely fell in love with it. My favorite podcasts are podcasts about like murder and whodunit mysteries, things of that nature. Yeah, you'll come to find if you continue listening, I can be pretty morbid and dark and go some pretty weird places. But I love realistic fiction, murder mysteries, things of that nature. So fell in love with podcasts and thought, I am in for a struggle if I'm going to make my own podcast. There's no way in hell, excuse my language, that I'm going to be successful at this. However, it got me to thinking about making the podcast about my position on a podcast for my first episode anyways. I went through a whole list of different podcasts that I could offer to the world, things that everyday people talk about that I have experience. And if I do have anything out of life, it is experience. So things that I could do podcasts on, I could do things about addiction, about being single, an autobiography, about being homeless, about writing, about music, about salon and cosmetology, what I went to school for, business and communication. I could do something on racism in America or hustles and side hustles and ways to make money for the struggling addict and recovering addict. I could do things on the legal system. I could do something on fashion or being a woman or exercising or something regarding paranormal activity, because I swear y'all, I have a ghost in my house, but we'll get to that at another episode. Things about Christian experiences and relationships with the higher power, that too is important to me. So all these things, and it sounds like blah blah blah, yeah, we've heard it all before. If you're still with me, have some patience. Thank you for staying with me, because I am getting to a point here. All these things that I could talk about, and it got me thinking about the very important question, I believe, as to why. Why do we talk? Why do we share opinions? Nobody's asking for our opinions, are they? And yet we all log on daily to provide reviews and ratings and critiques to other people and share advice and opinions, and we seek out opinions from others who we don't even know on places like Google and Yelp and mygooglebusiness.com, etc. All these things, and podcasts, how to, self-help guides. Why are we so afraid to trust our own judgment? And why is it not okay to just take our own advice sometimes? So you've probably heard someone say something along the lines of, oh, that movie just spoke to me, or that song seemed like it was written just for me. And maybe even you've heard someone say like, oh, that book was specifically written about me. So true, this common type of expression is often exaggerated to convince someone of the value of their individual experience or connection to everyday events. So we communicate, whether it's for mere entertainment or for an expressive art form, with an intensive meaning, with an intended meaning, with an agenda. We find such experiences so worthwhile that we take the time to actually act like a car salesman of sorts. We try to sell our experience to other people, like politicians or car salesmen. We convey the value of what we experienced, and then we try to persuade each other about how important it is that they share our perspective, or at least take the opportunity to try and have the same experience as we did. We are willingly advocate for things that we find interesting or that we enjoy, to convince other people, maybe even ourselves, that they're going to have similar results in respective as our respective counterparts. So the saying goes that time is money, and this seemingly makes our willingness to share our time soliciting other people's works to others, selling our experiences, as a form of currency, right? I mean, We're taking the time to recommend a movie, so now we are giving willingly and freely our advice. And it stands to reason that our society evolved into paying people for these types of things. That's why we have Yelp and Google reviews, and we have the hotel at TripAdvisor, and all these different Reddit and Quora and all these different ways where we can rate people and their opinions. Not just a service. We're not just rating services anymore. We're rating the experience that we received from somebody else's creativity or thought process. We rate and review people's way of thinking and their opinions now, and even can find a way to get paid for it as an occupation. We gain from these experiences, credible firsthand experiences, so much insight, we believe that we're able to judge and offer our advice. But who are we to judge these things? Is it that we believe that our advice and opinion is valuable? Or do we believe that people who are that we're sharing our opinions with, that they feel that we're valuable? Obviously, if I share with a stranger on the street, oh, that restaurant was so good, I'm assuming that they're not going to question my judgment. I'm assuming that it's worthwhile sharing my time to give them that opinion. And you know what they say, assuming makes an ass out of you and me. So why is it that we share even when we're not asked? Is it positive reinforcement? For instance, how often do people request your opinion? Think about that. How often do you get asked your personal opinion? Me, not so often, because I am definitely an introvert and isolated. And maybe this podcast is going to be good for people like that. Maybe that's something that's helpful. But what about the places and the people and the websites that now get paid and have income to critique and rate and review other people's thinking? And are we responsible for the way we think on a star system? And what is the reward versus the consequence? For instance, if you don't get asked your opinion, do then you presume that your thoughts are not worth sharing? Do we merely wish to communicate our self-interests in a way to other people that they can understand us better? At the heart of it, I think it's very important to question your motives constantly. I overanalyze my motives, and that's probably why I'm an introvert. I'm constantly judging, what is my motive in sharing my thoughts with this person? Is there something in it for me? Do I want to convince them that I'm smarter than them? Do I want to persuade them? What gives me the right to share my opinion? And the thing that I find that grounds me is when I just admit to myself that the reason I'm sharing my opinion, if I'm not asked, is merely to have them better understand my way of thinking, so that they can either encourage me to improve or that we can connect and share a bond. Because that's really what it's all about, right? So if I make money, great. If I don't, so what? There's other jobs around. Writing and talking and communicating should be something you love doing. If you're writing people because you're angry or pissed off or mean or spiteful, screw you, dude. Get off. Trolls suck. Quit trolling. That's a new term. I'm all proud I know what trolling is because my kid told me what trolling is. But I thought that was awful. People actually get paid and it's like a popular thing to critique other people negatively just to stir up shit. Maybe I'm swearing too much on this podcast. I hope it doesn't get bleeped out. If it does, cut around it. That's to say anyone's gonna listen anyways. But if you are still with me, thank you again. My name is Danielle and I don't have a name for my podcast yet. I'm hopefully going to be doing multiple podcasts, so you can check me out. And my Facebook is Danielle Hoagland, or otherwise you can check my email out, Charlotte's Weber, that's like the book, charlottesweber01@gmail.com. So moving forward, where were we? What did I want to get at? I wanted to know if someone doesn't agree with our perspective or our recommendations, can we convince them otherwise? Back up. Moreover, can we cause actual harm to people by providing false or embellishing false information to another? Like, duh, of course we can, but how do we know if our information is false? Are we guilty or culpable in that regard? I still say yes. And we do it all the time regardless. Everyone has shared their advice or suggestions to someone in their life, whether it's asking them for their opinion and then giving our own opinion, or whether giving their opinion when not asked. We've all done it. And there are entire companies, as I said, dedicated to this web industry to do the same thing. So what if we started reading each other's verbal opinions every day in everyday situations? Like, for instance, my neighbor told me the other day, for example, that she absolutely loves singing by herself at home karaoke. What if I just stopped her mid-sentence right there and said, you know what, Susan? No stars for you. I'm going to rate you right there because I disagreed with her entire sentiment. What if I just cut her off right there? Our friendship wouldn't get very far, right? And yet we hide behind cameras and filters and lenses and computer screens and phones all day, every day, saying whatever opinion we have and find it so hard to share those opinions with people blatantly and truthfully. Because deep down, I don't think anybody is truly that spiteful to just hurt anyone for no reason. And if you are, then you don't have many friends and you don't have to worry about it anyway. So, point being, moving forward here, I'm sure if I said those things to her, she would no longer share her opinion with me. Or better yet, maybe she would, stop speaking to me entirely, or perhaps try to defend her opinion, causing a fight. Maybe, who knows, maybe she would change my mind and change my opinion. And that's a healthy communication, when you defend your belief and you can start a conversation and actually change someone else's way of thinking. But both parties have to be open-minded for that to happen. So what if we all had our judgments questioned and based on a rating system? You know, you're given stars for your judgments and for your opinions. Sort of like that movie, not Total Recall, but it's got Tom Cruise in it, and it's like there's thought police. Maybe someone can post in the comments or hit me back with the email to inform me of what it was. But Minority Report, I think it is. That is it. Minority Report, where they actually get arrested before a crime is committed based on the fact that the government developed a new technology to be able to tell in advance, to preeminate and be able to, as a precursor, tell when someone is going to commit a crime even before they commit it. So then they get arrested just for thinking about a crime. Is that where our country is coming to? Is that where we're heading? For instance, I don't know if anybody has heard of the case. It was on an HBO special. It's called I Love You Now Die. And it brings the whole new level of bullying on the internet into the courtroom. It's brought us to a part where an individual committed suicide based on the fact that his girlfriend sent him encouraging texts to do so. And she was brought up on charges for actually encouraging him to kill himself, although she didn't pull the trigger. I'd be curious to see, what are your thoughts on that? Horrible person, morally, absolutely. Absolutely shitty person, right? However, criminal? I beg to differ. And I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments regarding that matter. But that's not what we are focusing on today. Today we're focusing on our communication styles and opinions and the way society judges us. So my podcast episode is going to be titled My Position on Podcasts. At first I was like, screw podcasts, nobody cares, that's so arrogant and it's like so blasé to do that, and actually find myself enjoying speaking to absolutely no one but my phone right now. So it makes it a safety net, right? It gives us a safety net to be able to throw something out there without having to face people. And if y'all hate it and don't like it, I deleted it and I never do it again. No biggie. But I have confidence in the fact that I don't actually verbally have to talk to anyone directly right now. I'm just talking into my phone by myself. And it's a great form of therapy. I highly recommend it. So my position on podcast has invariably changed today. But what about if we constantly offer advice or opinions haphazardly and nonchalantly, and it's translated as like a fakeness or an insincerity? What we take with consideration or validity, what like it can be questioned when someone constantly has an opinion to offer. So there is a saying that too much of a good thing is still too much, right? There is such thing as too much of a good thing. Yet there are those who constantly offer their advice and opinions, and they're overtly altruistic, almost, engaging, and more importantly, they're always correct, they're always right. Those are the people that I aspire to be. Those are the confident, educated, personable, and completely self-aware, and the people that are worth listening to. You can tell that they're full of useful information. They emanate this positivity and honesty, and it brings an influence. That's another thing I learned through my child. I'm aging myself here, but I have a 14-year-old, he's going to be 15. Oh my gosh, I'm aging myself. I sound so old. A 14-year-old, a 13-year-old, and 2 9-year-old boys. So, but damn, you know, anybody who comes to my door and needs anything, call me mom. I'd mother the world if I could, but that's a whole other conversation for a whole other day. Where was I? What were we talking about? The people that I aspire to be, the ones that are confident. I think we all do. And not those overtly arrogant, you know, conceited people. It's not that type of pride. It's more of a confidence that comes from consistently receiving positive reinforcement. And the people who get the 5-star reviews on their advice, the people who are asked for their advice, the people who get paid for their advice, those are the people that emanate confidence in their sharing their advice and their judgments. Even get compensated for it. Come on! So with technology and social media shaping our society, to the present day, the ease of access of information is staggering, right? Instantly, instant gratification. That's all over the place, all over the world, instant gratification. Google that. Don't know something, Google it. You want to eat, but you don't want to cook? Drive-through. You want your movies delivered to you? Got Netflix or it used to be like Gamefly. Now you just download it instantly to the TV, smart TVs. You don't want to drive, you don't want to go shop, you don't want to have to try on things. Just buy it off of Amazon or buy it off of wherever. Download it, music instantly. Everything is instant gratification. And I believe it affects our relationships with others, and it affects our ability to connect and share lasting and meaningful bonds with each other. And this is why it becomes so easy for us to judge other people without ever meeting them. And I'm here to tell you guys, that hurts. It affects people. It definitely has an impact. I know if you say it doesn't, that you're lying to yourself right now, because it affects me and I'm thick-skinned. It affects everyone. We've all said something that's hurt someone, and we've all been hurt before. If you haven't, then you're not human. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but it's true. You know, the people that are worth listening to, that they give good advice, they're positive, and they share their thoughts freely. But with the way that technology is, there's a pressure to conform to society's views and positions on almost every matter. Anything known to man, anything imaginable, conversations become monotonous and regurgitated, and it's all been done, it's all been said before. That's the problem I had with starting this podcast too. It's like, what am I going to talk about? It's already been said. It's already been done. Everybody's already done it. There's nothing that I can say that's important. But you know what? It's not just about the facts. It's not just about the information. It's about that meaningful connection with people. This is something that's super important. You know, where are the new creators? Where's the innovative ideas? Where's the meaningful expressions and the things that give us value in each other and ourselves? Right this moment, think out loud to yourself. I want y'all to do this with me. Think out loud of one individual whose opinion you favor above everyone else's. It's the most important. You would take they're the first person you think to call or ask about anything at any time, any situation. Your phone a friend. Say you're on Millionaire. Did you already name it? I'm still rambling on. Okay, do it again. Say it out loud. Myself. Did anybody else say myself? Did anybody else agree with me? God came through my mind, but then was like, when the chips are down, who do I depend on? Me. I hope I'm not alone in this. I hope some of you answered your own name as a response to this. But if you didn't, don't fret. Don't worry. It's okay. It's important to have influencers in our life. It's important to have other people to depend on so that we can compare ourselves and give ourselves a basis for what we're aspiring to be. There's always room for improvement. There's always room to be better. How will you know if you're constantly just basing it on yourself? We have to have other people in order to grow and learn from. And so if you did name yourself like I did, congratulations also, because you can't trust others until you trust and respect yourself. How can you determine who to admire if you don't first have a set of standards? Most of us are taught these by our parents. Some of us are not. Some of us learn from others. But each one of us has a criteria, an expectation. Whether you know it or not, subconsciously, we all have an idea of what we expect out of people, what makes a good person, what makes a person logical, what makes a person trustworthy, what makes a person reasonable, dependable, or worth listening to, worth taking advice from, worth emanating. So, you know, surround yourself with people who enjoy your company and actively request your openness and opinions, and you'll be happy and successful. If you're insecure and introverted, more like I am, surround yourself with the type of people you named that wasn't yourself. For those of you who named someone else, surround yourself with those types of people. And then copy them, emulate them, talk to them, ask them, what makes you tick? What joy and happiness that you have? I want that. How can I have that? And I think you'll find the more you surround yourself with those types of people, the happier you'll be. Because it stands to reason that when you spend time with people you trust, you begin to trust yourself. Request their perspectives often, and you too will gain insight and confidence. Now, I bet you're wondering what this has to do with the expression mentioned at the intro of this whole conversation. So to jog your memory, it was about how certain pieces of artwork or movies and shows seem to speak directly to us, imploring us to advertise the importance or value of what we experienced, right? Some even go so far as to spoiler alert, like to ruin the shows for us because they get so excited and they undoubtedly either think that you're not going to watch it or they think you're not smart enough to get their perspective. So spoiler alerts, don't do it. New rule, guys, spoiler alerts suck. You know, if you're going to make a suggestion and then just ruin the whole show for us, just say right off the bat, hey, you don't have to worry about watching this show because it wasn't worth watching. I'm going to tell you all about it. And that's the thing too. When you do a spoiler alert, you really ruin the whole purpose to encouraging and suggesting that show or song or play in the first place. Because when you ruin it, it's like, oh, well, I didn't really believe you were going to watch it. So you're showing that you don't have faith in that. Moving forward, getting back on track. Sorry, you're going to have to bear with me, guys. I have ADD here. But we were talking about what these shows do when they speak directly to us, okay? So not to lose confidence with you guys, I'm probably going to lose half or more of you here. And it's going to be kind of a twist. I'm going to M Night y'all. But in short, when a movie or a song speaks to me, when I say, oh, it spoke to me, I am telling you right now, it literally speaks to me. Literally. Like, my television and my radio speak to me. And I'm sure I'm going to get all sorts of comments about paranoid or weirdo or, oh, we've been listening to a crazy person. And like I said, half of you probably just tuned out. But let me clarify. I implore you to have patience. Stay with me here. Openly and honestly, I have to let you know. Because, figuratively speaking, I would probably think if someone said that they were crazy up until this point. But it started happening. I don't even remember when it happened, but it quite literally happens. And it's like driving me crazy. Don't laugh about it. Don't judge me. For the love of God, if you think I'm crazy, then don't give me any stars. Give me a horrible rating and we'll just end the conversation now. Because if you do have faith in me and are intelligent and free thinking and open minded, then I believe that you are probably reasonable enough to assume that there is a conclusion to this and that you're going to stick around for the rest of the show. So I'm hoping to achieve some type of satisfactory enlightenment regarding this on my circumstance. And forgive me if I speak too familiar with you all, but once you start talking to your TV, you can talk to a phone, you can talk to the wall, you can write, you can talk to anyone. So if I seem too overtly familiar, just keep in mind I've been having a relationship with my television and radio for the past couple years here, so bear with me. So the logical connection here for me is that familiar conversations with people, you know, that like making connections and bonds. But I have been hearing from my television in stereo, and I think I've been isolating for a very, very long time. So that's the first thing. But effective to say, I really don't believe I'm insane. I mean, I wouldn't be able to judge if I was, right? But I don't think I'm insane. And for that matter, the television and the stereo, I have to infer that they're actually speaking to me. It's like, when I was speaking just now, for instance, in the background, The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith is on, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, am I crazy? And this sad music came on and Will Smith says, yeah, I think so. And that type of stuff happens constantly. I mean, what a coincidence, right? Except it's not a coincidence when it happens all the time, every day. It's like the TV responds to me. So I've got to throw it out there, guys. Does this happen to other people? Or am I the only one in the world this happens to? Because then I probably either am crazy, or I'm just going to go ahead and keep it to myself and it'll be useless anyways, because I wouldn't know what to do with that kind of superpower. I am not a superhero. No Bruce Wayne here, you know, not even Wayne Brady for that matter. No comedy, no anything. I've got nothing spectacular to offer, except that now I talk to my TV and my TV talks to me. It answers me. It knows what I'm thinking. It's crazy. And it got me to thinking about all the work and the time that goes into producing shows, actresses and actors, podcasts, books, everything like that. How fitting would it be if now, after all these years, I've missed the huge message, I've missed the big picture, I've just been taking it for granted, taking it in, judging it behind closed doors, behind my mask that we all wear, behind the television screen, behind the computer screen, secretly and quietly judging everything that I take in and taking it for granted, mindlessly lapping it up like entertainment. And in the end, what better way for God to judge one person than to use mass media, television, radio? One way to connect to millions of people worldwide instantly. And if I am the only one who has been missing this message this whole time, then I feel pretty stupid. However, the one good thing that I did gain out of this is the perspective that if there was no God, it would be imperative for man to create one. However, I think it's equally important to find that if there was no man, it would be equally important for God to create them, him, and her. So, that being said, if y'all have been hearing from your TV and I'm the only one who's been missing out, then no worries here, because it's not that much of a stretch of the imagination to believe in a God either, right? And if there is no God, and if there is no TV speaking to me and I'm just insane, then the only person that it would be affecting would be me anyways. And I wouldn't be able to tell because I'm the one it's affecting, right? So the bottom line, the moral to the story, the thing that I got out of this whole experience and podcast is that people are what matters. You know, even if my TV is speaking to me, It doesn't matter, because the thing that I've gained out of it is that I need more time and interaction with other human beings, right? So let's quit rating each other negatively and being rude. If you don't have something nice, don't say anything at all. Stick to the golden rule, my friends. Take it easy. I hope you enjoyed my first podcast. Let's join the conversation. And my only hope for the world is that the conversation will match each of our opinions. So, I'm signing off. I hope you enjoyed this. Be kind to each other. Be kind. Rewind. Share the love. And stay 6 feet apart from each other at all times. Take it easy, and I'll catch you next time. Danielle Hoagland. That's all, folks.